A character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
After weeks of anticipation, finally landing on Monday Night Raw, from Planet Funk, weighing 375 pounds, please welcome the Funkasaurus, Brutus Clay!
All right, welcome back, everyone. It's Stunt Granny Audio 171. We got some new funky music this week. I'm sure Eric will be a little put off, but regular music will be back as soon as Brodish Clay is no longer cool. This is Jeremy. Joining me is Kevin. Again, this is Stunt Granny Audio, audio show, or Stunt Granny Audio number 171, whatever you want to call it. Good evening, Kevin.
What up?
All right, so that's that. I forgot it's been a while for me. It's been 2-3 weeks since I did this. So trying to get back into the funk of things. I'm just going to keep using that over and over, whether it drives people nuts or crazy. I don't care. I don't know. It's been kind of a weird week so far for wrestling. Something was actually posted on the site about TNA. No, you always do your reviews through Twitter, so there's really nothing on the site about TNA, is there?
I ended up asking Eric about that, and he goes, yeah, it would be nice if we got something on there. I'm just like, oh, fucking A, I'm going to do another review now. I thought just doing it on Twitter was going to be enough, but go fuck yourself. I suppose I'll do it on the site.
Isn't a Twitter review enough? I mean, there's money to be made with Twitter, isn't there? And I don't know how anyone makes money off of Twitter other than like celebrities who are already making money off of, you know, their big adventures. Yeah. So, you know, if I want to find out what the Kardashians are up to or the name of Jay-Z and Beyonce's baby, I guess Twitter's a good place to go. And even then, I guess, I don't know. I heard O&A making fun of that this morning. What did they name their kid? Do you know? Does it matter, really?
Blue Ivy?
Blue Ivy?
Yeah, or Ivy Blue. Yeah, no, I saw it on What Would Tyler Durden Do?
Oh.
So.
I was too busy looking at his Twitter account with him making gifs of Amanda Seyfried? Or Seyfried?
Having sex.
Mm-hmm. That was a good movie, so.
Because he was too pissed about LSU losing.
Yeah, that snorefest, as predicted. Yeah. But, yeah, that was just a garbage game. It shouldn't have happened in the first place. And it was nice to see the same repeat of the same boring shit from earlier in the year.
Yeah, well, that's it. Sean calls me, and I'm like, dude, can you just get off? Like, I was just getting pissed at him. It's just like, no, I don't really want to watch the game. It's going to be awful. He goes, it's been really good so far. I'm like, no, it's two great defenses with two mediocre offenses. Get the fuck out of Dodge.
Yeah, and one offense that didn't prepare at all in the last 4 or 5 weeks. They were totally clueless. And whatever. It shouldn't have been Alabama anyways. And now they won. I was like, so what's that prove? okay, Alabama can beat them on a neutral field. They can't beat them at home. So when are they going to play? No, they're not going to play again. So it's tied 1-1? Oh, okay, that makes sense. Is this Rocky? I mean, the only time that a tie actually the champion went forward, but whatever. That would be Rocky 1 and 2 together, but whatever.
Yes.
All right. But yeah, so fuck Alabama and fuck LSU. Whatever.
Exactly.
Boring ass shit. Did Pitt win their bowl game? I don't know.
No. All
right, so sorry for bringing that up.
Whatever. Anyone that has a 500 record shouldn't be in a bowl game, period.
Well, how about UCLA with a 6-7?
Well, they had a losing record. They shouldn't have been in either, but it's only because those dummies at USC did too much cheating.
Yeah, well, apparently not as much as Ohio State.
Well, they didn't really do – well, yeah, they did.
It was one guy at USC. It was a shitload of guys at Ohio, and then the coach even knew about it and covered it up. And they get a slap on the wrist and a new coach with two national titles. Okay, that seems fair. Whatever.
They both only miss one bowl game. I mean, whatever.
No, USC missed two.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, and they got more scholarships taken away and some other, I think, more probation. So the last I read about it, this was a few weeks ago, USC, the chancellor and the athletic director, came out and said if Ohio State's punishment wasn't as severe or worse than USC's, they were going to sue the NCAA. And, of course, that hasn't happened, so they're just full of shit. I figured the NCAA was like, do you want us to put out the rest of the shit we found? No? Yeah, that's what I thought, so shut up. All right, but enough about college football because it's over for the year, and Michigan's supposedly going to be ranked 5th next year when the ratings come out because that'll hold up.
Yeah, those are always important.
Yeah, well, the only good thing about Alabama winning is the last thing I'll mention is hopefully this means most of their juniors and obviously seniors declare for the NFL because that's Michigan's first game in Dallas next year.
Oh.
Yeah, so it'd be good because Michigan lost a lot of important people, so that could be pretty ugly. But it's the first game of the year, and anything can happen, I guess. So, but okay, well, let's get on to wrestling for a change.
Yeah, let's get funky.
Yeah. Well, do you want to start with that, or do you want to start with TNA?
Well, they had their pay-per-view on Sunday, so I do prefer to go in some sort of chronological order.
All right. Well, Sunday they had their Genesis pay-per-view.
Correct.
Okay. Correct. Pretty bad because I actually wrote something about this pay-per-view and, you know, kind of TNA in general. This is not their big show, is it?
No.
There's just it's not Slammiversary,
it's,
though.
It's Bound for Glory.
Yeah. That doesn't make any sense. I know. And the dogs have it dead on. That's bullshit. It doesn't make any sense. So you just got Genesis. It's just another throwaway pay-per-view, which really, when it comes to TNA, that's pretty much all of them. And I did write something for a change. I actually had some time based off of an idea Eric put in my head and I ran with. Well, not an idea, a question Eric asked me.
Hence my future ramblings on Impact, actually for the site, at the top of the show before our college football review.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. That's right. Round it right back. Good job.
Thanks.
But yeah, they had Genesis, and then on Impact this Thursday, they're going to have Genesis redone all over again. And that's kind of the crux of what I wrote. I was getting at is, it's just the how's that go? Wash, rinse,
repeat.
Repeat. Is that that's what it is.
Yep.
That's what this is. They give you James Storm, Kurt Angle again. They give you Jeff Hardy, Bobby Roode again.
And they give the women's title match, Madison Rayne versus. It's
Gail Kim.
Gail Kim versus, who sent her little watchdog minions on us, which is outstanding.
Oh,
did,
yeah.
Did you see that?
No, really? What did I miss?
When I was tweeting last Thursday, I called Taz adult for calling her hair brown, for calling her a brunette. So she questioned me. She goes, well, then what hair color do I have? And I'm like, hey, I immediately thought to myself, are you fucking retarded? And B, I'm like, it's black. Well, and then I just answered her logically. I'm like, it's black, like mine and like Tracy Brooks. Like, black and brown are two separate colors. Mm-hmm. Or, as you helpfully pointed out, black is the lack of all colors. Or no, it's the combination of all colors. Yeah. White is the lack of all colors. So, yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I suppose brown is part of black, but yeah, they're two separate items, and her dumb ass should know that. It, pretty much every Korean and or Korean descendant has fucking black hair. I don't know, she's an even bigger dolt than Taz for not knowing her own hair color.
But okay, wait a minute. I hate cutting you off real quick. Who the fuck was using the Stunt Granny account on New Year's Eve?
Eric, I think.
Okay. Jesus Christ. When did Larry King get his hair done? Oh, that's Kathy Griffin? I'd rather watch Dick Clark disintegrate live on air than see gross-ass Kathy Griffin. And then someone retweeted John Cena's "A polarizing 2011 comes to an end, one filled with love and hate. The struggle continues tomorrow. A new day, a new year, rise above hate." That's disgusting. Oh, my God. Oh, boy. Okay, I'm sorry. So go ahead. What were you saying? I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, so she asked me about, you know, the hair color. I ended up answering her. I didn't hear anything back. The next day, I see that we have a couple new followers. And, oh, shit. I guess I could go to it. Oh, well, that was funny, too, that, GailKim.com started following us, and there was a second Gail Kim site that was following us, too, but she must have dropped off the planet, or he, just, whatever. Yeah. Although I did get a kick that I mentioned some soccer, and Arsenal started following us, too, which was
dumbasses.
Even though I fucking don't like them. Well, actually, Robin Van Persie's a hell of a player, but anywho. yeah. So, back to the pay-per-view thing. Gail Kim's taking on Mickie James. So that's like a third match that they're repeating from the pay-per-view.
So I know you brought this up today. It was, well, WWE does the same thing. I was like, well, yes, but, you know, it's not talking about WWE.
Well, they do it, but it's another one of those things to me that people get twisted. We're like, well, the WWE does it, but they don't do it to this extent most of the time. You know, they don't do it this heavily to repeat the matches.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I know that Orton and Wade Barrett got repeated. But usually it's just some shit matches. It's not the main event in the number one contender matches.
Right.
And to me, there's a difference between, you know, replaying Primo and Epico versus Air Boom. There was a surprise pay-per-view match and replaying it on SmackDown as opposed to taking your main event and then repeating it on the next Impact. Or your two main matches.
Main matches, yeah. Yep. And I that's a huge problem. You don't get, well, they did give away a Cena CM Punk match away, but I think it was a week later. It was after Del Rio took the title from Punk, it was at SummerSlam. And then they were going to have – they had Del Rio and Cena for the title because Cena beat CM Punk. And I think that was on – it was on Raw, but I can't remember if it was the next day or not. I think that would be the closest example of something like this. But also with WWE, you have a pay-per-view card that is – I mean, is, I don't like using the word stacked because it's almost impossible to be, you know, all that stacked on a card for anybody right now. But at least they've got, you know, top talent. Like, you've got your big talent names. So that if one of them gets redone in a totally different way to where you don't feel like, well, shit, I never need to pay for that. That's one thing. And I think that's what TNA does. And I think they've done it again. I mean.
Well, and that's a good call. Like, they, you know, they'll have at the pay-per-view, they'll have a non-gimmick match.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they show it on TV, it's like, oh, now it's a ladder match. And you're like, what? Hold on. Why is the ladder match on free TV when just a regular match was on the pay-per-view?
Well, that's because it's the second match of a feud. So you have to go, you know, Monsters Ball match, then you go ladder match. And then later on, you go to just a regular singles match. So that's how it works with them. You give the gimmicks, but you have to you give your varying degree of gimmick matches on TV. And a ladder match doesn't mean anything to them, you know? Hell, matches barely matter. But no, it'd be nice, and this is something I brought up when I wrote, Bobby Roode needs something significant to happen for him. Nothing works. Nothing is working for him. They've given him, what happened at the pay-per-view? It was, oh, he kicked the referee in the balls.
Yeah, well.
And it's like, you couldn't come up with a better DQ finish than that? Kick Jeff Hardy in the balls, or, you know, they don't have the old staple of the throw him over the top rope thing, like Ric Flair used to do all the time.
Oh, right, yeah, and I mean, it's just, that is so obvious, too. It's just like, whatever, you know? It's so obvious that they're trying to get themselves DQ'd. Like, I guess I don't even get mad about it. It's just like, what? Like, it's so intentional and so dumb.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of go back to that, making it slightly more realistic, even though we're supposed to suspend our disbelief.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what sport are you going to get away with kicking a referee in the balls? And, like, right before mm-hmm. that, when they started this past Impact, they showed Roode beating down the owner or the GM of the show. And it's just like, you know, McMahon put himself in those matches for the most part. And maybe that's just it. Maybe I'm just tired of it. I'm not sure.
It's saying you're tired of something. And not just saying I'm tired of TNA.
Yeah. You know. Well, I mean, I'm definitely tired of the evil GM, which has been the saving grace
right.
of Johnny Wooden GM for the last couple of weeks, where you're at least starting to question his motives. But, you know, getting back to that, it just seems like it's one of those things that even though it's a wrestling tradition, like, it just seems so old. It's just like, just have him win or just have him put his feet on the ropes. Just, have him win, but have him win dirty.
Yeah, yes. There's nothing wrong with the old putting your feet on the ropes trick or pulling the tights or even if, you know, you're the heel, just keep hitting. Like, he fought Jeff Hardy.
Right.
Just back him in the corner. Continually keep kicking him. Keep punching him. And so when you get to the five, you know, and make it dramatic. Like, the referee's like, stop doing it. Stop doing it.
Right.
And you just don't listen. And stop doing it. Stop. And I know that's kind of a face thing. Like, when the face snaps or whatever.
Right.
But even have Roode just say, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And keep doing it. And then you've left the referee no choice but to disqualify you.
Right.
So at least you get some sort of the heat off of it because you did it on purpose and you saw, like, your fan favorite babyface get beat down.
Yeah.
I know that's a tricky slope because you don't want to make him look weak, but at the same time, you know, you got to get the heat on. You got to have him get over and then have him, like, you know, do the whole belt thing, rub it in your face. You know? Rude's character isn't about winning. It's about retaining that title. So something like that would be better than kicking the referee in the balls. And going to your point, that's exactly it. No, you wouldn't get away with this anywhere. I mean, imagine a football player. What was the good and this took place in the Mexican League. The catcher for the Rangers?
Oh.
He punched the umpire and he suspended, 60 games?
Yeah.
Or something? And they're saying they could possibly carry over to MLB when the season starts? That's a serious consequence. Maybe this is an authority figure problem with TNA and you know, the fake authority figure. The very first thing Sting should have done on Impact, on the tapings, was come out and go, Rude, if you do this something like this again, you're stripped of the title. If they pull up the lame lawyer bullshit, that's when Sting just goes, I've got lawyers too.
Yeah.
There you go.
I do always love how, the baby faces don't know what lawyers are, don't know how to contact a lawyer.
Right.
Nope, I can't use them. Sorry, right. Everybody has to use them sometimes. Buzz off. It's part of life.
Yeah, and you know, they could even have it to where, you know what? Sting goes, all right, here's what we're going to do. I've got my lawyer, and Rude, you know, does sue him, whatever else. And as they've shown, TNA's lawyers are shit because Dixie Carter lost control of the company when she was blatantly, you know, lied to. So he used the same inept lawyers and have win. And he goes, give me my title back. You know, they could do something like that. And then really, you know, then you've got this undeserving guy who seemingly is untouchable. So you can build around that and build your baby face up to finally beat him. But.
Yeah, well, they need to build that baby face up too, which they have just done an utterly piss poor job of doing.
Yeah, and I don't think that there's any baby face that and this is part of the problem again. And maybe I didn't do a good job of explaining this. Is there's no one in TNA. What was it? Shima Ion.
Zima Ion.
I knew I was going to screw it up. He's too small and too young, but I actually like him. I think he's got a decent look. He was one of the guys I was complimentary towards.
well, aside from not mentioning his name.
Yeah, I know.
served its purpose.
But in that case, do you want your name? Do you want your name anywhere on something like that?
No, and I mean, they just, you know, they haven't really pushed him. And honestly, it made more sense, and it would have been fine. Like, if they would have let Jeff Hardy move on to another feud aside from Jeff Jarrett, since Jeff Jarrett got kicked out or whatever happened, that one him and Karen got fired. That's right.
Yeah, because they turned on each other. Whatever.
Yeah. So have Jeff move on to another feud and have AJ Styles keep going, or is he injured again?
I don't know what they're pulling with him, to be honest.
I can't even think if he was on this past week or not.
Dude, it sounds like you're cutting a body up in the background.
I don't know if it's going to come across or not.
I just heard a heart, heart, heart.
AJ Styles was on because for whatever reason, after that was just another turn that just absolutely makes no sense. With all of a sudden, Kaz, after siding with AJ Styles for 3 straight months or whatever, with Brian, I just called him Brian, Christopher Daniels, he ends up switching sides and going with Christopher Daniels now. It's like, huh? Like, what? What are you doing? Like, you finally decide, like, 3 months was it finally enough decision time to side with Christopher Daniels, who's been an ass the whole time?
Yeah. Well, that gets explained on Impact. Oh, no, it doesn't. Because he goes, I don't know. I can't explain why I did what I did. Oh, God, it's one of these. No man acts like that. No adult male acts that way. You know what I mean?
Right.
So.
Yeah, no, and that to me is the problem, is that AJ Styles still could have lost clean to Rude because Rude was part of 4chan, and I don't feel like they wrapped that up, honestly. Like, I was like, huh? Jeff Hardy's fighting him now for the title? Like, I was so confused. Like, to me, there was, because I think Rude cheated to beat AJ, and it's just like, okay, the babyface always gets another try when he cheats until, you know, something comes up where he's, you know, got to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody else interferes and he gets pissed at them and forgets about the world title, which is just weird. But yeah. Anywho. Yeah, like, I don't know why it shouldn't have been, or it should have been, AJ Styles taking on Rude again and finally having Rude. I mean, they pad AJ lose to him in the build-up as a babyface. Just have him lose to him again.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, for the most part, I like AJ, but just rampant misuse of everyone is just, whew, I mean, yeah, again, it's more of a degrees thing to me. TNA just, the WWE doesn't do it well, but TNA does it even worse. And it's just like, oh my gosh, just stop making my brain hurt. So,
yeah. Oh man, there's. I mean, I started. I said this in the. What the hell did I even name that thing? It was something. I just remember keep saying 3495, please, which I think a few of us will get the joke of why only standard definition gets ordered. But
TNA pay per view dilemma.
Yes, yeah. 3495, please, because standard definition is 3495. But there's a line in here. I even said, you know, it's time to stop saying TNA as soon as they get their stuff together, or, you know, they have a young roster, or they have this or this. Time's up. It's been 10 years. Dixie Carter's been in charge for a long time. Vince Russo's been there a long time. Hogan's been there going on 3 years with Bischoff. You know, all these supposed, you know, brains, minds, whatever, they're not getting the job done. Ratings aren't going up. It's the same stale roster. They get rid of guys, they bring them back. Do you remember all the audio time we spent talking about what happened to Kid Cash?
Well, what happened to him?
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, why he's not working anywhere?
Yeah, but I mean...
No, the answer is no, because we never talked about that.
Oh, I thought we did.
Do you honestly think Kid Cash ranks on the radar, even for as snarky of a site as we are?
I really thought that we talked about it at some point because he was that much of an ass when he left TNA. It might have even been when you guys were just doing the audio experience at the Torch.
Well, see, but back then he was still wrestling. You know, on some sort of a national scale. He either appeared in Ring of Honor, he was doing indie stuff, but when he came back to TNA, I just remember going, that guy is still in wrestling? You know, and obviously, honestly, I do not follow the indie leagues like we used to. You know, other things come up, so it's, you know, a delegation of time. But I remember we were doing the TNA audio roster game. Not one person, I think, picked him. Unless it was just a joke or it was really stretching why you would keep him, you know? I think Eric said for a cruiserweight bully or something.
Right.
Or maybe I did.
Yeah, and I mean, he serves that purpose fairly well. Like, I haven't minded his little run here recently because that's exactly how they're playing him.
I get it, but you can't tell me that there's not younger, untainted talent out there that they could put in that spot and build them up to something. I mean, Daniels, Kazarian, AJ Styles, hell, Samoa Joe wasn't there at the beginning, but you can toss him in there too. I mean, they've been around the block so many times. then if they win something or if something happens, it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. And that goes back to poor booking decisions in the past, but right now, I think Magnus would be a fine one to get behind. I have no problem with them getting behind Rude, but they've got to do something or it's going to, you know, just tank off.
Right.
James Storm, but as I said, he's been kind of exposed, but apparently Kurt Angle really liked their match. That's going to show Thursday, so I'll be curious to see that one, actually. It's time for James Storm to have that good breakout match. And Kurt Angle is the guy to do it in that company.
Yeah, completely agree. I mean, it's and that's just been weird. I mean, I haven't ordered either of the pay-per-views, obviously, so I don't know how good and or average, as most people have reported, the match is. So it'll be interesting to actually see one.
No. Just because you don't pay for it doesn't mean you can't see it. So,
yeah.
Not that that's a good thing to do, kids. Just look away when the FBI warning comes up and you'll be fine. Deny it. Now, it's a roster game topic just brought, just purged out. I mean, it's time to trim fat. It's time to go steal guys. For TNA, you know, you can get rid of a ton of shit. And I know it's PWO and, you know, we got no working relationship with them, but, you know, we cover it. There are guys there they could take. Ring of Honor, but I know they try and get some of those guys up, or they've locked some of those guys under contract. There's other people. It's time to cycle in new people. And you don't have to do – and don't do this horseshit thing where you're like, well, yeah, I'm coming to TNA because the X Division is the top thing to do. No. You're coming to TNA to be on national – to make big money. Lie. You make the big money – get national exposure and turn yourself into a household name. That's what you want to do.
But, right.
You know, not this horseshit. Well, they have the best competition in the world. Shut up. You know, you want to make money. And maybe they could save that for one of the guys, that he's there all about the money, which, you know, the reality of it is he'll figure it out. But.
Right. Yeah. No. And I mean, they could. Well, even you pointed him out. Zema Ion is a guy that's a fresh face. And I even like. And going back to Kid Cash, him doing the whole bully gimmick with the Jesse Sorensen is fine. Just get that damn football and varsity jacket off of him.
Yeah.
Just aside from that, I mean, he seems like a really crisp wrestler. At least when he's talked, he seems pretty good. You know, he's obviously young, but it's just like, you know, give the guy a chance. But then they're, you know, they pull the same stunt that the WWE does. They go kind of hardcore with that angle. And then all of a sudden, even Austin Aries got relegated the last couple of 2-3 weeks. Like, you can relegate someone for a week, but then when you say, oh, this division's great. It's great, great, great. And then you take a couple of weeks off again from showing that that division is great.
Mm-hmm.
It completely kills all that momentum.
Yeah. Real quick, I know we're trying to get away from TNA real quick, but I mentioned some other guys to try and get behind, and I am in no way joking. And there's not one hint of sarcasm here. Bully Ray is – that is a guy to get behind. Dude.
Yeah, no, I'm not disagreeing. Because that's the other reason why before we started this and we didn't ever get around to it, really. Like, there were some parts that I really liked, and it's just like, come on. Like, and I know that it is beyond the point that, oh, they're going to challenge and all that other stuff, because they have these TNA has their cycles. That it's just like, oh, okay, they're good for 2 months, and then for the other 10 months, they're just a pile of garbage. So to me, this is just, you know, maybe they're changing things kind of a phase.
Yeah.
But Bully Ray has been awesome since he's gone single.
Yeah, it took a while. I mean, admittedly, it did take a while, and he took his lumps. But boy, he's gotten good at what he's doing. It was something on Impact last week. Oh, they were asking how many title shots have you had? And Kurt Angle did they were doing something.
Yeah.
And Rude goes to Bully Ray, how many have you had? And he goes, nil. Silt, none. It was just the way he said it. I was like, the guy, it was funny, but it was poignant. And at the same time, as a heel, you're like, you don't deserve it. You know?
Yeah.
And right now with Rude being the champion, it'd be awkward because you have to keep him a heel. You can't turn him face to have him do it. So, but no, it's working. And I would have never thought that would have happened. Never. I mean, look at D-Von and that horseshit angle that's been going on for 18 months. It's seemingly 18 months. I'm not trying to exaggerate there.
Yeah, it feels like I'd like to know when that started because it's probably been at least six. I'm not trying to exaggerate. It's probably been 6 months. It's just like, please stop. I don't care about D-Von's kids, especially when they don't. You know, it's just another example of them. I don't know if those guys are good wrestlers because haven't they trained, at least from what I read?
I don't know. When you said I don't care about D-Von's kids, I thought you were wrapping up like that was it because that's what everybody says. So.
Well, no. I mean, as much TV time as they've gotten, I don't know a single thing about them.
Yeah.
They have been a decent chunk of the TV time, and I can't tell you their names. And they don't even look, you know, they look different enough that I shouldn't be, they both look alike, so I don't know the difference, like between the Usos or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, I should know their names because I pretty much watch Impact every week. And, just nothing. Like, they don't flesh anybody out.
That's a bigger problem anyways.
Yeah.
And that yawn signifies we're going to go on to something cool.
We're going to go on to something funky?
Yes, man. You already know what we're going to talk about. I consider it to be the big story coming out of Raw. Even though the match was a minute and 54 seconds, I think. Brodus Clay made his long-awaited debut.
Hold on, who?
Well, he was the Funkasaurus, Brodus Clay.
Yeah, the Funkasaurus.
Yes, the Funkasaurus. When Justin Roberts went into his spiel, when he goes, he's landed here from Planet Funkasaurus.
No, it was Planet Funk.
Planet Funk. He landed in, oh God, it's so confusing. Whatever he did. I've watched it like 15 times when I got home from work. And I still get it wrong, so whatever. But when he said he landed from Planet Funk, or he was from Planet Funk, I honestly thought they were bringing Too Cold Scorpio back. For whatever reason, there's been no rumors, no nothing, nor you know, going back to the whole Kid Cash thing, no pining for him to return. And then they started that music, and then he was like, Brodus Clay. And I'm like, what? What is this? And then those two thick-ass women came out and started dancing. I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then here comes Brodus in his Run DMC, King of Rock era hat, you know.
Yeah, he was rocking a serious fedora.
Yes.
I was loving it. Red track suit. All Adidas up. Adidas. Walk through closet.
Man, he got in the ring and he started doing the pose. He just started stood there and posed, and you heard some of the people in the crowd go, "Oh yeah!" I'm like, is that all it takes to dance now? Because I can do that shit. I do that all the time. I just stand there and stare. I can do shit. That's easy. And then he was like, "Oh," and he does it again, and more people cheered. And I was like, "What?" And then he starts dancing, and the crowd's like, "Oh my god!" Like the uncomfortable laugh and all that. But the genius of this whole thing, and I the more I've watched it, the more I liked it. We can get into that in a second, but
yeah,
the two chicks with him dancing, shaking ass and all that stuff.
Right.
If they weren't there, maybe the Shockmaster comes ahead. I'm not sure. This would have been the most embarrassing debut ever. But with those two women there, it totally softened the blow. And, oof. But, I don't know, man. I didn't hate it. It was something different, that's for sure. So,
I think part of it was just the sheer shock of seeing what happened. I was like, oh my gosh. But, if they do something in the Godfather/who did everyone mention? PN News, who I don't think I ever saw, honestly.
That was a blink and you miss it sort of thing.
Okay.
Don't forget, did anyone mention Man Mountain Rock?
No.
He would have been up there, yeah.
Who else was on there? Jay Briscoe. Brodus Clay dancing equals cosmetically pleasing.
Okay, nothing, yeah, I mean, I think this is just one of those things where it's such a disaster, that's why I liked it. You know, that uncomfortableness, it's like, oh god, oh man, oh my god. You don't want to turn it off? It's not like an uncomfortable embarrassing, it's a joyous embarrassing.
If I would have been at the bar last week and he would have come out with everyone around, I would have busted out laughing. Instead, I get Kane coming through a glory hole to drag Zack Ryder down. Which, that's the, oh my god, I'm watching this reaction. But yeah, if he would have been there, I would have been in tears. I'd be like, oh my god, this is so ridiculous.
That's what I was doing last night, and Elisa's like, this is shit. This is terrible. I was like, this... And I'm just like going, wanting to say something, like positive or negative, and I had nothing. And, you know, it takes a lot to shut me up. So I'm just like, and she's like, this is terrible. I was like, I didn't hate it. And then CJ Hawkins on the Facebook supervillains thing, whatever, he said something like, what the fuck was that, Brodus Clay? And I was like, I don't know, but I didn't hate it. You know, I didn't. I don't think it's, you know, a really good career advancer.
And this is something that I kind of started to bring up when old Wade Barrett went with the thumb to the eyes. They really seem to be going kind of like this weird, like retro old school thing. Because they seem to be doing the best they can to exploit the xenophobia, so they love going with the ethnic gimmicks again. Because they're pulling out Tamina now, and they've showed the I know that Haka isn't the right word, because I think that's Hawaiian, but the Usos doing the Haka dance, and Del Rio just shit, fuck Del Rio.
Mahal.
Jinder Mahal. Epico and Primo are kind of there. But really, the big one is Hunico and whatever his manservant is on the lowrider bikes.
Yes. It's an old... wrestling stereotypes.
Yeah.
And everyone confuses it with racism, and it's not. It's just they're lazy. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
This kind of falls in that category. It's like, it reminds me a bit of Hakeem, the African Dream, a white guy pretending to be. Because he was always shucking and driving too in his matches, and it's just like, oh my gosh, like they are. Like, just, like, all kinds of different things are just kind of coming back from, like, the 80s.
Yeah. Well, and then I sent you that Bleacher Report column. It's on BleacherReport.com, and we talked about this a little off the air about that, the whole tweeting thing. And they're thinking or reporting that it's actually a work on Brodus Clay, like a punishment, because he tweeted that he was going to be the guy to destroy John Morrison. And this is like his punishment now. If true or not, whatever. But this could actually become, you know, if he can make it work, you know, this could be one of those things where if he makes it work, that'll be McMahon will be like, well, you know, all right, I got to give it to this kid. You know, the old, good job, kid, and made it your own, and, you know, go with it. Like R-Truth with the little Jimmy thing, the crazy gimmick. You know, he made it his own, and now they're featuring him more often now. So,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah, no. I mean, if he sticks with it and if people latch on to it, because that's I did have to laugh that Eric said to me today. He goes, "I liked Rikishi. Why did I not like the Funkasaurus?" And I'm like, I don't know, dude. Like, I mean, they're pretty much the same thing, except one guy was Samoan and one guy. I told him that the Funkasaurus needed to find his Grandmaster Flash or his Scotty Too Hotty.
Been on a mission. That's another thing. He has to find his Mo. Which can have, I guess, more than one meaning in this case, but
yes.
Damn it, something else I totally forgot. Oh well.
But yeah, no, you're right. If this is supposed to be a punishment for him, if he makes it work, they're gonna be like, oh fuck, okay, yeah. And he'll just roll with it, and eventually he'll get out of it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, this is a prime one. To where he just, you know, rips off the happy-go-lucky hat and stuff and, you know, stops dancing. He's like, I'm not someone to be toyed with, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Your basic thing. But I think that's part of the reason, going to what Eric said, they hyped up Brodus Clay as this destroyer of worlds. And then he comes out dancing and going, should I get him? Like, what? What was that? And he's like, oh, no, you didn't. I was like, huh?
That was the only part that was a little awkward for me.
No way, man. You go full in on this sort of stuff. So they mic'd him up, and he's like grinding his ass into Kurt Hawkins. Like, what the fuck are you doing? It's like, nah, I'll watch 5 minutes of this every week until it gets boring. And you know what? I know they need another monster heel, but Raw's got Kane. SmackDown's got Mark Henry for the time being. So maybe they needed another monster heel, but at least it's something different. I'm not saying it's good. It's different. And it's easy to get out of. You know, yeah. Billy Gunn, Rockabilly, for Christ's sake. And he turned that into some decent money as, you know, badass Billy Gunn. And not Mr. Ass, but,
you know. Right.
And now the song starts up. Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes, and we're all guilty of it.
Spit it out.
you've got your notion of what you want them to do. And then he comes out and he's doing the shucking and jiving, you know, all that sort of stuff, destroying what your expectations of it was. So once you step back and you go, huh, it's not so bad. It could have been a lot worse. So if you want to take on a positive aspect, so you know something like that, yeah. So whatever. Well, since we're running out of time, I guess we should at least mention. I don't know what to cut out because we didn't write down what we were going to talk about.
Yeah. Well, the only other thing that was big on Raw, and I think we can let someone. Hopefully, we could talk Dusty and Eric into doing it since. They are good for the nostalgia things.
Yeah.
But the Hall of Fame inductees.
Right, right.
The first one to me, and I mentioned this last night, I was kind of surprised that, but it really puts into perspective what they thought of Edge with him being not even gone for a year.
Yeah.
Where he will have been gone for a year when he gets inducted. So yeah, he gets in, which is pretty cool. I mean, it made me even think that I might write that article that I've had in my brain for for the same amount of time.
Yeah. Yeah. It was funny because Elise saw that. She goes, was he really that important? And I was like, well, yeah. I mean, he was one of those. And another, going back to something else I wrote a while back, when he retired, it's he was the guy that was always around. I mean, you know, he'd get hurt every once. He'd get hurt. He'd be gone for a while, come back. But he was like, he was just the old standby. And he was solid. Gave you some really good stuff. And then, you know, that happened. So
yeah, I mean, he was he was part of the last big set of tag teams. And, you know, he started off slow as a champion, but
right. Yeah.
Wow, things really picked up for him within the last 3 years or so of his title reigns.
Oh yes, and by the way, his first championship reign was predicted by one Mr. Dusty Giebink. when he defeated John Cena at the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view or whatever it was, after the Hell in a Cell, Dusty had actually called that. And it happened right then, but no one, I think no one really gave him credit for it. Cuz I didn't see anybody else saying it. So
gotcha,
but so a little ups the Dusty on that one, but the best part of the Hall of Fame inductions, or inductees, excuse me, was the Four Horsemen, and how they strategically either cropped or put the HD bars over Ole Anderson in some of the photos. Because I just rewound, I was like, you see that there? That's Ole Anderson's hand, or that's Ole Anderson would be. Right where, like, right next to Arn Anderson, if they wouldn't have cropped it so weird. And she's like, who's Ole Anderson? I was like, he's this old bitter fuck that, you know, if he shows up.
Right.
But to me, I mean, the Four Horsemen I remember when I grew up was Lex Luger. It wasn't Ole. I mean, you know, I know it's like, oh, sacrilege, whatever. It was Lex Luger. And then he left, and that was the big thing, was him versus Flair. And then Wyndham turned on Luger and joined. And then after that, it was just kind of all downhill. I mean, who the hell else was in the Horsemen after that? Paul Roma, Dean Malenko.
I was going to say, they had a decent set when the man who should not be mentioned, Chris Benoit.
Fucker, beat me to it.
I'm trying to think, because it was him and Flair. It still wasn't the best.
Steve McMichael. It's like, oh, boy.
Ooh. No, didn't Benoit kick him out, or was he in there?
No, he was in there.
Ooh, okay.
Brian Pillman was one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there were other guys. So I'll just be curious to see if – because a lot of people are saying, well, hopefully invite Ole Anderson or maybe Lex Luger gets in this way. But they – to me, it seemed they made it appear last night. It was Arn, Rick, Tully, and Barry.
Right.
Now, they showed James J. Dillon, but they never mentioned him. And he was an integral part of it. So I don't know. I think that's probably the most intriguing of the Hall of Fame inductees. To see what group's actually going to show up.
Yeah, but, they really highlighted those five. So to me, it's going to be those five.
Well, it would make sense because James J. Dillon worked for WWF as well. So, you know, throw him in as not a mercy spot, but I still think unless it comes later, but I can't see how it would come later. Randy Savage. Not being inducted again, especially when it's in the state of Florida. That just kind of sucks.
And after he died. Yeah, it's just like, come on. Like,
It's now, who knows why the rumor's out there, but no one knows for sure. So.
Right.
Except Vince, and he's basically telling him to get the fuck off. So, yeah, because they haven't announced WrestleMania for next year yet, so. But I can't imagine unless it's in Florida again. I don't know. Or maybe it's in St. Louis. They have a dome there. So, you know, cause he played for the Cardinals. I don't know. I'm talking on my ass now. So, but yeah, if you know, we're cutting our coverage short cause we blabbed about TNA too long.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean,
yeah, it needed to be done.
Yep.
But no, it'll get covered later, and probably when the two of us do our WrestleMania 28 preview shows. We can do a Hall of Fame edition if Dusty and Eric haven't covered it already. Or even Dan. Dan's good with the nostalgia stuff, too.
Yeah.
The little known, the James J. Dillon of Stunt Granny, I guess. Or see the Paul Roma, one of the two. Oh. Yeah, no, that was kind of harsh. That was totally unnecessary. That's better than being the Steve McMichael. I mean,
oh, that is true.
You know, yeah, because I mean, at least Paul Roma was in shape. I mean, or at least shape. You know, whatever. Yeah. So, but let's end it there. We'll come back next time. Get it some more. Yeah, I'm supposed to do that. So, all right, it's time for the plugs. I got to remember them all. Okay, so if comments, questions, anything like that, you can email us at stuntgranny@gmail.com. You can leave a comment in the comment section on this post or any other post. So if there's something you don't like or something that you would try to get a reaction back from one of us, as long as it's not me because I never pay attention to them, feel free and leave them. We're also all on Twitter. We are at Stunt Granny. I am at Granny Maze. DeFrango11 for Kevin. Dusty Giebink. I don't know. Is Dusty still even using his? I never see it anymore.
Every now and again.
And then Eric's.
Yeah, I know he hit me up about something this past week when I was on when I was using the Stunt Granny account.
Well, I haven't talked to him too much the last week or so because he got his job, so he's always at work now. That's no fun. And then Eric's is Eric. Brother. But yeah.
Eric at holdforswank.com.
Yeah. I don't even think they have a Hold for Swank Twitter, which is weird. Figured they'd use that because they have a Facebook page. So, yeah, you can look up, Eric's band Hold for Swank on Facebook. And there's that. I'm going to get out of here. I've talked long enough. I'm out of water. Have a good night, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll get you next time.
Okie doke, grandkids. Time for a sippy time beer. Have a good night.
How's that for pile driving, Miss Daisy?